And I'm sure all of you are very familiar with Angela's Ashes. Between the book and the film, it's become something of an Irish cultural artefact. It's one of the stories we all know in one form or another. And I'm delighted to say that we now have with us a woman who's going to bring a third iteration of Frank McCourt's work in the form of a musical. Pat Moylan is the producer of the stage adaptation of Angela's Ashes, which is now playing at Bord Gáis Theatre in Dublin. And she's here with us now. Pat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You had your opening last night and
yes.
It was a triumph.
Yeah, it was just amazing. I mean, it was all my dreams come true, I can't tell you. You know, having worked on this for such a long time and then to see the reaction of people last night and a full standing ovation. I mean, just the minute the lights went dark, they didn't even wait for the cast to come back out on stage for their bow. So, people loved it.
It must be a heady mixture of relief and kind of joy and pride all mixed into one.
It's all of those things. I mean, it was, you know, it was kind of a pain in the stomach time for, you know, when we were going through the final stages of this. And then, of course, so many people had, you know, preconceived ideas, mainly from the film, that it was going to be very dreary and very wet. And, I mean, it is sad. I mean, they lived in extreme, extreme poverty. But they were also an ordinary family growing up and had all the fun. And, I mean, Frank has, he's just wonderful at the humour. The humour that they didn't really get in the film of, you know, his first Holy Communion, the Irish dancing classes, him, trying to get money together to go to see James Cagney and the movies, and you know Frank's journey from a young kid coming to Ireland, coming to Limerick, and then wanting to get back to America, wanting to try and find a way of getting his mother and his family out of the poverty they were living
in. When you look like that, it sounds like a great story. But for most people, they're going to be going, they remember the misery. And Frank himself got the name as being the father of the misery memoir during this. I mean, this Angela's Ashes kind of almost defined misery for a lot of people.
Yes.
When did the idea come to you to think that, do you know what, that could be a musical?
Well, it kind of happened in two halves. First of all, about 4 years ago, I was sitting having lunch just down the road from here in the Market Bar with a friend of mine. And we were talking about the books that left an impression and the number of books you read. Particularly, I just come home from holiday and I was saying, oh, you know, I read two books, couldn't tell them the name of them. And we were talking then about the fact that some books really leave an impression on you and you really remember all the details. Most of them are the classics. Most of them are the ones you read when you were young or at college or something. And but Angela's Ashes came up and I had memories of things that had happened in Angela's Ashes. Funny little bits about, you know, his standing up Presbyterian North of Ireland hair that the grandmother blamed, said if Angela was married to a Limerick man, he wouldn't have hair like that. So there were things like that I remembered, and my colleague was saying the similar stories. And then it dawned on me, why don't I make this into a play? And I said, I'm going to find out about this. So I got in touch with Frank McCourt's widow, Ellen, and I said, look, this is my idea. Is there any possibility of getting the rights? And she said, yeah. She said, actually, funny you should call me now, because there's a fellow in Derbyshire, a composer who's writing music for Angela's Ashes, to do with students, a student production of a musical. And she said, I promised, I'm going to Ireland soon. I promised him I'd go over and see the student production and I'll talk to you. When I met her, she said, this music is amazing.
Really?
You really have to listen to it. You really have to hear the score. Because she said, you know, this is not the show that you want, because it's for students. There's a million parts. It's 10 hours long. It's, you know, all the things that you can't have in a commercial musical. So I just kept saying to myself, yeah, well, I have to now listen to the music, because, you know, it would be rude not to, but I'm not doing a musical.
But you have no expectation.
No, I'm not, there's no way. It's too difficult. It's too expensive and all of that. When I heard the music, I was just blown away by it.
Really?
I mean, the music is just sensational. It is a beautiful, beautiful score. And so then I started working on the musical.
Okay.
And that's how it came
so
about.
So the music almost was one of the first things that came to it.
Yeah, it was the music. I mean, there was a book as well.
Yeah.
That Paul Howard, a great playwright, had written for this piece. But, you know, I started working with the two guys then. And,
right.
And
a thing, I read some interviews with you and you were saying, you know, the fact that it is kind of an unhappy background to the whole thing, that's not unusual in musicals. Sure, it's not.
No, it's not. I mean, look at Les Miserables. I mean, yeah. Even the title itself.
Exactly. And not a laugh a minute.
Not a laugh a minute.
Oliver, starving children.
Annie. In the orphans.
Yeah. Orphans. Yeah. So, you know, it's almost a recurring cabaret. Yeah. The Nazis.
Yeah. And I compare it more to Blood Brothers because, again, that was a family living in poverty. And but it was so uplifting in places and so funny. And I think this is, I think I could compare it better to Blood Brothers than any of the other musicals. It's that, you know, it's that style.
Right.
And they have an amazing cast. Absolutely.
Tell me about the cast. Because once you have a musical, it's a different kettle of fish. You have to get people who can sing as
well, I know. And I'm not used to this because I'm used to producing plays.
Yep.
So what I wanted was great actors who were great singers and great singers who were great actors, you know. I have noticed a lot when I like musicals. I go to musicals a lot. But I noticed that sometimes you get great singers that can't act, really. That I'm just, you know, they're getting through a performance,
yes,
but their voices are amazing. And I've been lucky enough. I mean, I went through weeks and weeks of looking for the right people. And I'm really pleased with what I came up with. Jacintha White plays Angela. And she is a stunning performer. I mean, she's just really, really magic. And Owen Cannon, who plays Frank, is amazing. Not known as an actor, more known as a singer.
Right.
But he's an incredible actor and he's really warm and, you know, he reaches out to the audience. They just love him.
I get the impression that a musical is, if you get it right, it just seems to be something that can run and run and run. Thinking of Once, for instance, which has just done so phenomenally well.
Yeah.
You two spent so long trying to get Spider-Man
together,
which I think they pulled off in the end.
Yeah, it took a long while.
Did take a long time. What is it that makes it lift? What is it that it comes to this moment where a song just encapsulates everything that's been leading up to that point? Or,
well, I think that, you know, for me, any great story should make you laugh and make you cry. I think if you succeed in doing that, and if you put great music on it and a story, this is a young man's dream to leave Ireland, but it seems an impossible dream. Where is he going to get the money? But he does, and he works really hard, and he writes threatening letters for the old bitch, Mrs. Finucane, and they're absolutely wonderful. It was just hilarious last night, actually. So I think it's the combination of all of that. And then, you know, we started in Limerick in the Lime Tree Theatre. And I think in many respects, it was probably going to be the most difficult audience, the Limerick audience.
Absolutely.
And they just embraced it and they absolutely loved it. So it was hugely successful there. And we're in Bord Gáis now until Sunday week, and then we go to a great theatre, and then we go to Belfast.
When you look back at the story, it has aspects like the alcoholic father, unemployment, emigration. Yeah. They're all things that resonate with an Irish audience, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. And when they see that Irish father on stage, who is, you know, actually, Malachy McCourt was a charming man, a charming father. His mother, Angela, loved him very much. The kids adored him. He just had one problem. He was an alcoholic. So but he was the father who told them wonderful stories and, you know, helped them and played with them and they loved him. But in the end, the drink got him.
It's a complicated thing for so many children growing up, isn't
it? I know.
On the one hand, it's a great father. On the other hand, it's a man who drinks too much.
Yeah.
And you never know which one you're going to get.
Yeah.
That uncertainty. Terrible.
Yes, exactly.
Congratulations. The reviews seem amazing. Everything I've heard sounds great. And when you
think
of your initial mindset where it goes to the misery, that's an incredible thing to overcome.
Yeah.
How did you start and all? I'm always fascinated when I see people who have a job that I think I'd love. Mm-hmm. How did you start in all this?
Well, I ran a theatre called Andrew's Lane
down
the road again from here for a long time. And then when I was in Andrew's Lane, you know, it was really a receiving house. But then I realised there wasn't enough shows from around the country or in Dublin to come in. So I had to produce my own shows. And then sometimes some of those shows were very successful in Andrews Lane and they moved on to bigger and better places, like Stones in His Pockets was huge, great. huge success all over the world. But other shows like Triple Espresso moved to the West End and, you know, 12 Angry Men, you know, did a tour of the country and moved into the Gaiety on a number of occasions.
Right.
So then I started producing. And then when Andrews Lane went, I was still producing shows kind of outside the walls of Andrews Lane. And one thing led to another.
And you love it.
I love it, Tom.
That's what does it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It continues at Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Angela's Ashes, the musical. Pat, thanks very much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.